Kevin, would you be willing to go first? Are you
sure?
You're happy to do that? All right. We have Kevin Kelly, author of Out of Control.
Unlike most people on this panel, I am not a scientist or a technologist, and so my role is mostly as a social observer. And perhaps I was also going to, maybe unlike everyone else, I was actually going to try and answer the question. So there are six key words in Doug's question. Will spiritual robots replace humanity by 2100? So I wanted to talk about each of those words. There's six words. I'm going to talk about 1 minute for each word, and I'm going to start from the back. 2010. I find it... 2100, excuse me. 2100. 2100, 2100. I find it very useful to think in terms of generations. A generation I define as about 25 years. On average, that's been how long a typical human generation has been. 25 years, people start breeding over centuries. That's pretty good. So that means that civilization, which began about 10,000 years ago, the earliest cities were 8,000 years B.C., that means that in the last 10,000 years, the first 10,000 years of civilization, we've had about 400 generations, 400 reproductive cycles. That means if you think about your mother and your mother's mother and the mother of your mother's mother, you go on, you have 400. 400 mother-daughter cycles. That's civilization, that's humanity so far. And so we've had the idea of automatons, robots, etc., for maybe about 8 generations. And for the last 2 generations, we actually made electronic computers in an attempt to make those. And we're suggesting here is, can we basically make true robots in another 4 generations? And I think if you think about the fact that before 400 generations ago, we were basically different than we are now. That's the definition of humanity and civilization. Is it something happened? A paradigm shift? There were organisms and mammals that made things, but they didn't make civilization. And now we have something happen. And so in 400 generations, we did this incredible shift, and that in 4 generations, we'll have another shift. I think, I'm not answering this question, but I'm saying that's the level that we want to ask this question on, is 400 generations. So in generation 404, we're going to do something. We're going to morph into something else. Humanity. The central question, I think, the central question that we're going to be asking ourselves in the next century, from now, 2000 to 2100, the question that's going to be in the USA Today, and novels, the subject of movies, the subject of our conversation is going to be basically, what is a human, and what are humans good for? This conference, basically, is part of that question. What are humans? What are we? What will we be in? Or who will we be? Or who... What was that?
Who will be we?
Who will be we? Yeah, who will be we? And so this is a central, I think, the issue that we're going to work on for the next century. What does it mean to be me? What does it mean to be you? What does it mean to be a male, a female, an American, a human? What does it mean? Because what we're doing is we're making lots of other things that used to do some of what we used to do. So I think in 2100 that people are going to look back at us now and just be amazed that we thought we knew what humans were about. Okay, we're just going to be... They really think that they knew what they were about because we don't really know. So again, I think we're in for basically a 100-year identity crisis. Okay? That's, and we're launching right now, okay? So, okay, then next word, replace. Replacement is actually a very unusual position in biology. It's very, very rare that a species will replace another species. The most common thing that happens is that a species actually inserts itself into an existing relationship of other species. It makes more. This is why we have 2 million species now, and we didn't have 2 million species 4 billion years ago. It's because while many species have gone extinct, most species actually are not replacing others. In fact, a lot of the species who did go extinct were not because they were displaced by another species. They were from comets or from internal troubles in general. And the biological phenomena of displacement replacement is actually very infrequent. And so I think the same is happening with technology, that it's very unlikely that technological things displace and replace other technologies. We've seen that in our own life, where we tend to keep technologies, and sometimes they'll change and morph, but they actually don't go out of existence and become extinct. And so, given that we don't know who humans are, and the fact that their roles are going to change, I think replacement, even obsolescence, seems very, very unlikely. Robots, okay, the fourth word. In general, unlike Hans's formulation, that robots are basically our mind children. They're children of our mind. And that if you think about the issues that Bill has raised about how do we deal with the fact that we're going to make these kinds of systems and things that will go out of our control, that will self-replicate, and that's the danger, is that they're out of our control. And what's interesting is that how do we train children? I mean, we have children, and we train them for this inevitable letting go. In fact, if we didn't let them go, it would not only be a disappointment, but it would actually be kind of cruel. And so just as with our normal biological children, so with our mind children, we have to let them go, because it's only by letting them go that actually they can reach their full potential and they get their fullest power. Now, there is nobody who has a teenager who is not slightly worried about this process. And therefore, actually, what I'm suggesting is that we should be worried, because this is an indication of the power of this technology. And I would say that there's a power law that says that the power of a technology is proportional to its inherent out-of-controlness. And the reason why, even there's another extension of that, in fact, that unless we can worry about technology, it's not revolutionary enough. And that's why we're worried now, is because we're dealing with technologies that are very revolutionary. And so the way I like to think about our technology is that we should be aiming to train it to be a good citizen. And we should expect to let it go and to deal with the fact that there are times when we can't control it. Okay, the fifth word is spiritual. What's the most spiritual event that we could imagine happening right now? I think it's contact with ET, and I think Mr. Drake here will talk about that. It would rock every established religion. It would send theologians into the forefront, just like they did in the movie Contact. But what's interesting is we don't have to wait for SETI to discover AI or aliens, because that's what we're going to do right now with AI. That's what artificial intelligence is. It's another name for ET. The AI is a different rephrasing of ET. And we're going to have the same kind of contact with that other, the other intelligence. And, you know, I have a somewhere in my pocket here, I have a calculator, which is right now an other. This calculator right here is smarter than anybody in this room in arithmetic. Okay? Nobody's threatened by that. But the fact that this is superior to every mind here in arithmetic. Okay? And so what's happening is that it's an other. But it's so other that we're not threatened by it. And I think what we're doing is that we're making new kinds of intelligences. And the way I like to draw this is that right now we have, if you take a map of the different kinds of intelligences, somewhere out there, there's a lot of different mammalian intelligences. There's other animals. There's dolphins, there's whales, there's us. Maybe down below there, there's the guppy and the hamster. And way up there in the corner up there, that's the calculator. Okay? They're all other. They're very different. Well, what we're about to do, what we're doing right now, is we're going to populate this world and either make or find 1 million, 2 million other intelligences and minds of various sorts and various dimensions. And
the question is there a God somewhere a mile that way?
Yeah, I think there is. There absolutely is. And I think right now meeting these minds is probably the most spiritual thing that we can do. So here's the last word, will. Will has happened. Okay? I think technology has its own agenda. So the question I'm asking myself these days is, what does technology want? Okay? And so if technology is a child or even a teenager, it would help to know what teenagers want. Well, we don't have a very good theory, to go to John's, about technology. We don't know what its inherent desires, its inherent urges, its inherent systematics. We don't know that. And so it's very hard to answer about whether these things will happen. But I think that there are several things that we know about technology so far. One of the things that we know about technology is it wants to get smaller. That's Moore's Law. The other thing we know about technology is it wants to get faster. That's Ray's Law of accelerating speeds. Okay, and I think there's another guess is that technology wants to do whatever humans do. Maybe I call that Kelly's Law. So every single thing that we are doing, this is what technology wants to do and will aim towards doing. Not as a single species, but as a million different species, all kind of doing some of the things that we are now doing itself. So we're going to have competitors, not just one, but many. So humanity basically is going to fragment into a million different specialist technologies. So what do humans do in the end? What are we going to do? This is Hans and Ray's worry. If these computers are doing all these other things, what are we going to do? A lot of people are worried about this, but I think the answer is very easy. We're going to do anything we want to do, which is a great liberation. Okay, so here's the question. Will spiritual robots replace humanity by 2100? I think I have a two-word answer. No way. Okay.